And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. A big shout out to Kate in Camarillo. Kate was the winner of the two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe. Congratulations to you, and sorry to all those others who called in and didn't win, but we'll have more sandwiches to give away next week as well. Remember that Urbane Cafe has two locations to serve you. One is on Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Shopping Center in Ventura. The other is at the intersection of Rose and Gonzales in Oxnard as well. They have the great sandwiches and great salads. Kate, you'll be enjoying those as soon as we get the certificates to you in the mail. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is new information. Each of my guests is providing new information on a subject. My next guest is the CEO of a real estate investment firm specializing in the acquisition of mid-market priced residential products in what he calls the Green Triangle, commonly known as Riverside, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. We'll discuss making money in real estate, even in a down market. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you have a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Sydney Potter has worked in real estate and mortgage industry since 1992 and is a licensed member of the National Association of Home Builders and the National Association of Realtors. Cindy began his real estate career as a mortgage operations consultant for Synergy Consulting Group and proceeded to work for Marcus and Millichap and Sperry Fannes, a commercial real estate broker specializing in shopping centers and storefront real estate. Cindy has a BA in political science and he has two MBAs as part of a doctorate degree from Pepperdine, joining us from parts unknown in California. Hi, Sydney. How are you today?
Billy the Brain, God bless, and thank you for the wonderful introduction.
Thank you for being my guest today, and I want to dive right into this with a little bit of incredulity. Really? Flipping homes now in this housing market? Is it really possible to make money flipping homes in today's market?
I give you one word response. 4%.
4%
interest rate.
Ah, okay.
Actually, that's technically about two or three words. There's lots of flipping out there going on. It's just the problem that we see on some of the flips today is the risk mitigation, and that is that to a certain extent, some of the market hasn't stabilized, at least in some of the MSA's metropolitan statistical areas. So I think that's what's keeping some of the investors on the sideline. But I work with brokers in particular in that Green Triangle area, so it's definitely alive and well.
Oh, well, that's good to know. And I want to get into some of the details of financing and so forth. But before we do, what makes your advice and your book so compelling is your personal story. So tell us your history and tell us the street cred that you have to talk about this particular subject based on your history.
Absolutely. You know, it goes back to actually Richard Ringer, which you know him as a conservative libertarian in the 70s. He had written a book that my father passed down to me as a child. I eventually read the book, didn't know what I was really reading it, got into brokerage about 20 years later, and in terms of a 6 degrees of separation, actually worked next to Richard Ringer's son. He's still a broker.
No kidding.
Yeah, at Marcus & Millichap. And it talked about real estate and making it and having a personal philosophy. So it was approximately 20 years ago, 15 more or less, in the mid-90s, started selling shopping centers in Southern California. I grew up in a brokerage family. My father's been licensed since 68. The Kaufmans and the Goldens on my mother's side of the family sell real estate as well. And eventually, about 10 years ago, started buying some of my own product, and that just had to be coincident with this boom and bust odyssey that we just kind of ended right now in terms of buying tract homes in that Green Triangle area between Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Southern California.
All right. Well, that makes some sense. Now, one of the things, again, the reason that I brought you on the show is to get out some of the great information that you've got in your new book, The Flip. And one of the biggest things that people have to overcome in investing in real estate right now is fear. Without a doubt, I mean, this whole environment, the whole economic environment has bred fear. So what role is fear now playing in real estate investing, and when does caution about your real estate investments turn into fear?
Well, Billy, fear is a four-letter word, and it's a very serious word, and it impedes the economic progress, and it's also a confidence game. You know, the government right now is trying to instill confidence to make those that are on the sidelines get over that fear and get in the market. We saw Mr. Buffett, I suppose you can say bravely, did another Goldman Sachs where he dumped $5 billion in Bank of America, and that's to ally, the fear, a siege of the fear that exists on the sidelines. The government's taking, and God bless them, several creative ways to mitigate and eliminate that fear by giving programs. Now, very specifically, because you've got some listeners that are saying, okay, well, where's the meat, Sidney Potter? Well, there's programs out there called HomePath.com, and then there's a HomePath.com, I'm giving you the website address, that allows investors and primary home occupiers to pick up HUD homes. These are foreclosures. There's approximately 3 million foreclosed homes in the HomePath program. The government will underwrite it, irrespective of how you may feel about subsidies, but they've created a backstop where they'll willing to subsidize or at least underwrite these loans anywhere from 3% to 15% down. Now, most conventional financing is 25% to 30%. It's almost hard money lender terms, but God bless the government. They're willing to at least step up and move some of the shadow inventory so it creates a more stabilized market. There's a couple of other programs as well, and there's some investor groups out there that have some turnkey operations that take these HUD and Fannie Freddie Mac repossessions. These are homes that are livable, that are built anywhere from 1950 to 2010, depending upon when it was foreclosed. So it's definitely out there. You just have to do your research to find out.
All right. Well, that makes sense, and that is comforting to know. HomePath.com is the website that you're referring to,
right,
and that's for first-time buyers or people who are going to live in as a primary residence.
Well, no, Billy.
No?
It's investors as well.
It is.
But the government does something that's very altruistic, and I would agree with it, is that they give a first look at these homes to primary home buyers, and they should. I mean, that's really what the government should be promoting in terms of responsible home ownership. But investors do get a crack at these properties after the 45-day cooling off period, you will.
All right. Well, that's good news. My guest is Sidney Potter. He's the author of the new book, The Flip. And, Sidney, you've addressed one of the major fears that people who are thinking about investing in real estate again have, and that is, where can you find funding? And certainly HomePath.com is one way to do that. But really, that still remains the biggest fear, and we need to address that because the banks have dried up their lending, particularly for real estate investing that is not a primary residence. In other words, investment real estate. So give us some other ideas of, even though the interest rates are at 4%, which are historically low for mortgage interest rates, you know, where can you find a lender who will lend you that money?
You know, there's some creative ways to go about it. 90% of the market out there in terms of primary home purchases happens to be FHA. Now, if you're an investor and you're willing to live in a fourplex, which you would technically call an investor owner occupy a piece of property, that's the way to get into the market. There are programs that are willing to allow hard money investors come in with an extra 15% down. The only catch on that, Billy, is that even if you had conventional financing, let's say where you've got to put 20% to 25% down, those hard money lenders will want a first position, and that's an objection that is easier said than done. If there was a time to really buy real estate, at least the positive outcome I've seen of this market, it's allowed individuals to strengthen their credit profile, which allows the opportunity to buy real estate. Now, to answer your question specifically, Billy, you know, it's a great degree of consternation that I see that the government has some of these LTV, loan-to-value issues, where 20 to 30% has to be put down. It will take the average household approximately 10 years to round up $40,000 to $45,000, which is the average price of a home. I'd like to see the government, in particular Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, not tell people to go out there and shop like our last president did, but to go out there and buy a piece of real estate. And the way that you do that is you put your money where your mouth is. I'd like to see a loosening up, but not the post-bust period, but loosening up of some of the credit requirements, because you've got so many folks that are willing to buy out there, take up some of that shadow inventory, but their credit profile is a bit tarnished. They may not have a 700 FICO. It may hoover around a 620, a 640, which doesn't really allow one to get in the game and buy a piece of real estate. You've got some folks out there that are credit tarnished, but cash strong, meaning they've got $50,000 to $60,000, but they can't get a loan if they've got a 520 FICO. So we see this perverted, what I would call a perverted underwriting standards that really should probably be more, should be realigned and more correctly aligned, I should say, in terms of the reality of it, and that is that we want some investors out there, mom and pops, that have cash, that are willing to put 6 months worth of reserves, but don't have the 700 FICO scores because their credit profile was tarnished in this last boom and bust. That, to me, would free up a lot of capital, or at least a lot of pent-up investor demand to go out there and start buying some real estate.
That it would. My guest is Sidney Potter. He's the author of the new book, The Flip, The True Life Story of How a Successful New Tract Home Investor Went from Zero to Hero and Back to Zero Again. And we're talking about real estate investing in this market. Now, I think it's interesting. You're quoted in the book as saying something very cute. I'd always heard it. Albert Einstein believed that the eighth wonder of the world was compound interest. You have a different belief, though. You believe the eighth wonder of the world is leverage. Why is that? And isn't really leverage, or in this case, over leverage, one of the major contributing factors to the recession that we're in?
It's one of the factors. There's the multifaceted way that one could look at this in terms of leverage. It's just like water. We certainly think of water as something good, but if your average human sat down and drank 4 quarts of water, they would probably die of asphyxiation because the lungs would fill up. So it's a double-edged sword. It depends how you looked at it. But the eighth wonder of the world is, in fact, leverage, and I say use it very carefully. Here's a good example. Credit cards. Can you imagine the catastrophic economic backlash if those were deemed illegal? I mean, capitalism functions on credit and the access to credit. Credit creates capitalism, and I fear if we didn't have credit to create capitalism, we'd have communism. Now, that sounds a little bit silly and over the top, but there is something to be said in terms of making achievable markets scalable, and that is to provide the opportunity for folks to leverage. Either it be a manufacturing plant that needs money because it needs some John Deere tractors to tend to the land that it owns or to help manufacture its parts, or it's encouraging home ownership, which the FHA is a wonderful program, to put 3.5% as opposed to some of the extremists out there that want just extreme financial prudence that think that somehow 20 to 25% is a good thing to put down a house. It's good. You've got some equity in there, but it would be like saying, let's not have credit cards because that equates to foul economic use of your own money.
All right. My guest is Sidney Potter. We're talking about his latest book, The Flip, The True Life Story of How a Successful New Tract Home Investor Went from Zero to Hero and Back to Zero. And Sidney, people who pick up your book, it's just recently on the market. What do you want readers to take away from reading The Flip?
I would say prudence, actually, but prudence in a good way, not to overreach too soon. Fortunately, a lot of good folks have commented about the books, from HGTV host to PhDs to New York Times bestsellers, and that is that I at least lay out the argument that the greed hubris is such a bad, bad thing, but it could also be a good thing. And listen, the book is nearly 300 pages. I wouldn't call it a dictionary type of book, but certainly it's a resource. It has an incredible glossary. You're going to read some interesting, I think, anecdotal stories in there that might be slightly inspiring. But most importantly, in terms of picking up something from the book, it really is the nuts and bolts to go out there, from websites to how much you should put down, to house upgrades, to lot selection, to working with mortgage brokers, lawyers, escrow folks, everything out there. So I think the book is 14 or 15 bucks. Go to Amazon, you'll probably get it for half that much right now. I think they're going to find it really, really resourceful.
All right. It is a great resource, and you have led a very interesting life. Your life has touched paths with a lot of famous people, but I'll leave that for readers of the book to get into. A question that I always ask, Sidney, of authors who come on the show is, what did you get out of writing the book?
It was just a bloodletting. You know, in ancient medieval times, they would let those bleed to ooze out some of the diseases in one's body. This was getting an 800-pound orangutan off my back in a major way, very therapeutic, to really just flesh all that out there and to give me a new perspective. So the, I, gosh, I would almost say it was better than therapy, but it was something I enjoyed, actually. It was very therapeutic. I hate to use those big $2 words, therapeutic, cathartic, but, you know, those are Oprah Winfrey kind of sounding words. But, you know, for all the guys out there, listen, if you can read something or write something where it makes you feel a little bit better, I would definitely encourage it.
All right. My guest has been Sidney Potter, author of the brand new book, The Flip, How the True Life Story of How a Successful Tract Home Investor Went from Zero to Hero and Back to Zero Again. Sidney, if people like the sound of your voice, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Oh, absolutely. Go to theflip.tv, like television. That's theflip, FLIP.tv. There's a lot of interviews, sound clips, trailers in there, segments of the book. Some definitional sections on flipping, a little bit of glossary. I think they'll like it. I do a lot of home track inspections. It's a pretty cool website, if I say so myself, so you'll find out at least where places in which you can buy the book, etc.
TheFlip.tv. It's one of those new .tv extensions. Sidney, thank you so much for taking time out of your Friday to be with us here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for being nice. Take care.
Take care.